us begin. Yeah, so let's finish off Karen Mechubar and then just to make some general points. And then we're going to start hopefully zeroing in on the rest, Shane and Rego. Okay. So we're in the middle of going through the different shitos on the difference between Karen Mechubar and Karen Talush. The Hava Mina that you'd be chayv Nezek Shalem. We identified a lot of the factors last time. This is a case of Kavanasa Lahazik, clearly, and yet you would be chayv Nezek Shalem from the outset. And of course, the tricky question where you get all the details in the Rishonim, I just want to go through some of the lines today more specifically. We outlined a few, most of the shitas, but there were a few we didn't get to that I alluded to, and I just want to read a couple of lines inside as well. And that is the tricky question becomes whether or not in this frozen Hava Mina, right, Karen Mechubar, what is the status of Karen Mechubar legabe the question of Mishuna or Darkan Lahazik, right? And whether or not there aren't either different levels of that, and if those different levels are quantitative or qualitative. Quantitative meaning, like, where do you draw the line? You know, how frequent does something have to be in order to be Darkan Lahazik, which, you know, could just purely be either an assessment question, like, you know, assessing the risks, or or maybe it's something more than that, if the question is how big a risk you need, you know, to take away a Shem Mazik or Tziruf to the Bailim or the Chiyuv Shmira or Choser Shmira or Petur Onus, whatever it is. I mean, there might be questions there, but especially if it's a qualitative question, which we have been suggesting ever since we started talking about Palga Niska, Mamuna Palga Niska, Knasa, and the debate between them, namely that the question is not just, you know, A, to assess what the frequency is, B, getting closer to halachic questions, how much of a frequency or rarity, do you require? How exotic does it have to be? How ubiquitous does it have to be, right, you know, to be considered enough of a mechayev, mazik, whatever factor? That's a second perspective. But the third perspective, what I mean about the qualitative question, is about the mix of different factors themselves. Let's say, for the moment, let's set aside all, you know, factual, probability questions or predictiveness questions, and let's just zero in on whether or not, you know, what we mean by darkan, you know, lahazik, or mishuna, or ragil. And do we mean, vis-a-vis, you know, the question whether you're considered to be a mazik because of your choser shmira? Do we mean whether or not, you know, ignoring this constitutes a ptur onus of shmira? Do we mean that, you know, the question of assessing, let's say, you know, the nature and also frequency of this hazard is something that determines whether or not, you know, this is considered a maisa hezek, a mazik, tziruf to the bailim regarding hezek, etc. That's what I mean by the qualitative question. Going even further, one may even suggest that, more mechudash, but I was suggesting this for some, that the question of cheska shimur la becheska shimur is totally a consequence of the legal and formal questions. By which I don't mean that frequency has nothing to do with it, but what I do mean is that certainly the heavy focus on questions of Kavanasa Lahazik and Mishuna, we still have to discuss the relationship between the two of those, are really what drive everything. And the result is whether or not, you know, our assessment is that you need Shimur for this kind of thing, or your lack of Shimur is considered a Pshia, or your, you know, and so on and so on, or your Mitzuref to the Maisa Hezek, etc. So the question of, you know, Behema Becheska Shimur, La Becheska Shimur, you know, then totally becomes a consequence, not just of, you know, which Mechaivim or which elements in the Chiyuv we accentuate, but really it's, you know, for all intents and purposes, it's a consequence. We'll see in a moment, that's why I wanted you to look at the Talmud, Rabbeinu Tam, that the idea that, you know, b'cheska shimur la b'cheska shimur is a consequence, that part is certainly there. I'm not suggesting that he goes as far as what I'm suggesting for some Rishonim, and that is that, you know, it's just a conceptual statement, that you need shimur for this or you don't need shimur for it, because some people look at it as a, you know, harboring or a walking mazik, and other people look at it as, you know, some sort of idiosyncratic, you know, outburst, you know, that is completely unrelated to you, and so on and so forth. But at minimum, he certainly is suggesting that there's no, we'll see in a moment, that there's no objective, probability question, risk assessment question, you know, that is determining this halacha, which is certainly what Rabbeinu Tam, you know, seems to be working with. But on the contrary, whether or not we consider b'cheska shimur, la b'cheska shimur itself is a result of the halachic status, you know, that we conclude it has in terms of chati nezek, nezek shalem, etc., and that dictates these terms. Again, in theory, that could just be, you know, we don't know, you know, what, let's say, in the most innocuous way, but it would still be very important, would be to say that, you know, we have no basis to determine, let's say, in terms of the numbers, right, the, you know, the level of probability, like how much frequency, infrequency, you know, should dictate when it comes to this question. Like, we don't know. You know, our policy people, our, you know, strategists, our think tank, you know, some of them think it should be 20%, and some people think it should be 40%, you know, and some people think it should be, you know, some, you know, even more complex, you know, algorithm, you know, which, you know, combines, you know, level of bizarreness with level of frequency and so on and so forth. It doesn't matter. I'm just, you know, having fun with it. But the point is that we have different models, and we don't really know, but we consider, you know, some of those models to be, you know, very, you know, reasonable, but we just don't know what the Torah had in mind. You know, so the only way we can know, kind of, is, you know, once we figure out, you know, once we have data, we can reconstruct backwards. We can, if we know that there's Chatzi Nezek, you know, then we'll, you know, in this case, in other words, in Karen Mechubar, so then we'll know that, you know, it's the first group that, you know, hit it on the head. And if, you know, if it turns out that Karen Plusha, you know, Baba Mechubar is Muad, you know, so then we're, you know, going to reconstruct and figure out. It could be as innocent as that, but doesn't matter. All, it already shows that we're dealing with a whole different kind of mix. Anyway, so that's what I want to just pursue for the moment. So, again, the bigger question in all of this is, again, l'halacha, we pretty much think that Karen Tlusha, Karen Mechubar are the same, that they're both trigger Chatzi Nezek. I'm trying to zero in on this, you know, frozen moment to isolate certain factors, and then, of course, the question also becomes, you know, is the maskana, you know, eliminating, you know, those factors, or do they still resonate like in other cases or not? That's what we're changing our mind about our assessment of these cases, or maybe the quantitative line, but at the end of the day, these chilukim are still there. So that's why I just want to take a couple of more minutes. We did some of this on Thursday, but just to identify, and because again, this is such a ongoing study throughout, you know, all of these prakim, really. So just to build it up, that this is this havamina is very, just like, you know, lav kiyotza behen was very important, and the role certainly of Karen and Tom, or, you know, per se. Tom and Muad per se, or Tom and Muad as paradigms of Nezek Shalem, Chatzi Nezek. All of that was important for Kiyotze and Lav Kiyotze. So too, it's very important for this Habamina of Karen, Talush, Karen, Mechubar, and therefore we really want to identify. Okay, so what we have so far that we've done, I just want to have a few lines in the middle and then see a few other things, is we talked about Rashi, and I think that Rabbeinu Hananel is similar to Rashi. I think the Pashtus of Rashi and Rabbeinu Hananel, somebody here said that the Pnei Yeshua learns differently. Who said that? Moshe said it? Okay, so, you know, that's good to know, certainly. But the Pashtus of Rashi and Rabbeinu Hananel is that the Habamina of Karen, Mechuberes, was that it is the equivalent of a Karen Muad, and that the Urche is immediate. And we've already discussed, again, I don't want to go repeat everything we said, there would be no point in that. But, you know, again, the question of do you need a transition from Karen, you know, from Tam to Muad, or no, not necessarily. How you look at the sugya on of Nachash and Bardalus and, you know, Ze'ev and Ari and all of that, etc. I mean, there are certain assumptions in Rashi here. And again, we don't know whether Lamaskana, you know, this gets reassessed or not. We just know the best we can know is what the, you know, world would have looked like, you know, if Karen Mechuberes was Chayv Nezek Shalem and only Karen Klusha or things like Karen Klusha were Katzet. But that's great, because knowing what that world would have looked like, you know, it's a possible world, right? So there could be echoes. Okay. So Rashi says Urche. The Rash seems to say Urche. In Shita Mekubetzeth, I think one of you mentioned it to me also as well, that you know, there's a line of the Riva, I believe, you know, in Shita Mekubetzeth as well. Was it page 7, column 1? I don't want to get everybody confused, but you know, I'm still on the old you know, the one where I'm just like last year, we learned that we used the Rimi Gash that he himself autographed, right? So this is the one that Rav Bezalel Ashkenazi. Actually, this is the real text that he wrote. I'm joking, but Rav Yitzchak Barab Avram. This is on page. So I'm just giving the page numbers of this, but page 7, column 1. Harav Rav Yitzchak Barab Avram Pirish the Lo Nemer Daya Ketlusha the Talmud Ketlusha the Enem Uedes Ad Plasa Zimni. Mishum the lav urche, avam mechuberes kiven de urchehu, nachshov pam rishona kitlusha shlosha paamim kamash v'lo bechor shona. Okay, so that's just a clear. If we had any suffix, I think it's clear in Rashi and Rabbeinu Chananel. This is what they're working with. It's certainly clear in this nisuach that what we're saying is that Karen Tlusha is not some sort of combination. It's not, you know, generic, you know, it's not a shabbat. It is, you know, the equivalent of having undergone the process of hada'a. Again, that is mefudash, of course, in terms of the, you know, the question is, well, what about, you know, how did it become urche? You know, if you really take, if you take the Rabin Tam point of view, you know, what would you say about that? Seems to me like Rashi doesn't take our Rabbeinu Tam point of view, and that is also consistent with Rashi on Heo and Beis and other Rashis. It seems like Rashi's comfortable with the idea of Muad Metchila, maybe like some Rishonim, even, you know, Lahalacha, like when you have really wild animals or animals that are that really have that kind of nature, etc. So I think these all, you know, fit in very nicely with that idea. You don't need a mabar from Tam to Muad necessarily. Either way, these are some of the issues. Or maybe that Urche, as I said, isn't about frequency. It's about, you know, how bizarre, you know, the Tadin and the Chetza Shal Nezek or the Maisa Hezek. That's also very, very possible. And again, we should consider that going forward as well. Even if it does depend on frequency, is it because of the frequency again, and the and therefore the assessment of how much of a poshea he was for not watching, or how much onus there can be, you know, as a tour? Is it really all about that, or is, you know, even the frequency question at the end of the day, you know, something that, you know, goes to the heart also of you know, the quality of the nezek, and therefore, you know, whether or not basically Maisa Hezek took place here, or, you know, some idiosyncratic, you know, episode. And, you know, that is an important idea. Okay. Or, just another issue which is going to come up a lot, you know, whether or not, in the other direction, but kind of the same idea, which is that, you know, the more that the animal itself, we'll talk much more about this, the more that the animal itself, like in isolation, is associated with what happened, as opposed to the animal, you know, betoras, you know, the bilus that you have over it, either as an extension of you or as your animal. I mean, this is like, you know, Bessie going rogue, you know. So that, you know, that that might be part of the question and the issue, both in terms of Kavanos Lahazik and Mishuna, and that is that, like, you know, whoa, that's not, you know, when Bessie stomps on things or eats things or whatever, you know, that's my Bessie, you know, but it, not my Bessie when Bessie goes rogue. Like, that's Bessie, you know, in Bessie's own crazy, you know, little world, right? So, I can, whatever it is, we get the basic idea. This, these are all suggestive in this particular context. Okay, so that's Rashi and Rabbi Yochanan. That's very important, and the question is how much of it is retained lamaskana when we change the, you know, the factual, you know, either numbers or assessments, etc. In the other, you know, in the other way, the other position is Rabbeinu Tam, which we discussed. Beis Amud Beis, Hei Amud Beis, you know, Tesvav Amud Beis, right? Rabbeinu Tam is a very, very clear, seems to have a very clear view that, you know, Bechezka Shimer La, Bechezka Shimer drives things, that Palganizkum Amona and Knossos are mutually exclusive. They're two totally different views. Again, how you will explain, you know, about the actuarial part of it, you know, even for Rabbeinu Tam is very, very challenging. Right, you still might need to say, you know, that there are two different perspectives on what Karen really is, and that that dictates, you know, how we assess, you know, not the numbers, because that's ridiculous. I mean, you know, we're using the same think tank, right? So they have to use the same, you know, methodology of gathering, you know, data. Right? That would be ridiculous otherwise. You know? But the question is, you know, you know, gathering data is a methodology we agree upon, but gathering data for what? I mean, what's relevant data? What are we trying to determine? That could still be a difference between Palganiska Mamona, Palganiska Knossa, according to Rabbeinu Tam. Much better saying that than just that there's, you know, a question of where to draw the line, and even certainly better than there being a debate about the numbers. But at the end of the day, as we've discussed, the gap is wide for Rabbeinu Tam, and Rabbeinu Tam's view, as we also noted, allows him to, like, capitalize on certain Gemaras, like Tezvav Mabes, you know, Kal Vadach Rishunri, where the Gemara really says Hashta, and does sound like Mishuna is linked only to Palganiska Knossa. On the other hand, and this is classic, right, it forces him to expand, you know, in ways that others might be uncomfortable with, like on Hei Amud Beis, where the Gemara says nothing about Palganiska Mamona Knossa, and like our, it doesn't say it, it's Mandakar Shemei, and why would you want to limit it? Perfectly good shot for the Tari of the Gemara, why should it be inaccessible to the other side? Right, but Rabbeinu Tam needs to say that for the same reason that it's, you know, it's in places where you wouldn't expect it, and it's, you know, very, very, again, but, again, that's further reason, especially, you know, Kelev Dachra Shinra, to think that the Mandamar Palganiska Mamona, right, is not so much telling you that he has a different Hagdara of Mishuna or Ragil, you know, as much as suggesting that that doesn't matter. Because Karen, you know, the factor of frequency, certainly, maybe even the factor of bizarreness, or, you know, exotic, you know, nature of the Nezek, that is irrelevant. It makes more sense for Rabbeinu Tam to be saying that we're dealing with two very different perspectives on Karen. Mm. So we should also expect, you know, that, you know, not only that, you know, for Rabbeinu Tam, that Palganiska Mamona, Palganiska Knossa is going to be far more ubiquitous, you know, even if it isn't explicit in many sugyas, you know, but we should also expect, for the same reason, right, that the mandamrim are going to be, you know, really at loggerheads in their conceptual understanding of what this din is really all about, and that we'll talk more about it, but Tezvav Mabes is a great example of that. Okay. What is Rabbeinu Tam or Di'imei, especially in this question? Why didn't he just hold like Rashi and the Riva, you know, and the Rach? So again, is that because you know, for Rabbeinu Tam, you know, this is Muad Mitchila is an issue. You need a transition from Tam to Muad. Again, there's nothing about Rabbeinu Tam's view, let me say this, or this is a question. If Palga Niska Knasa really means, you know, Becheska Shimur, so then the question of how to look at, let's say, Muad, you know, Karen Muad, you know, after three times, you know, kind of emerges. And the question of whether or not there can be a Muad Mitchila, you know, emerges alongside of it. So one could have said that, you know, Ha'iluchu Dekoi v'Ha'iluchu Dekoi, these have nothing to do, you know, with each other. All Rabbeinu Tam is saying, although it's very, very, extreme, is that when you have a situation which we acknowledge as Palga Niska Knasa, so in that circumstance, right, we really mean that you should be Pater Legamri, if not for the Torah swooping in and imposing this knas. But that doesn't mean, right, that there can't, that doesn't mean that that is a critical aspect of all of Karen. Meaning even of Karen Muad, right, in both of its instantiations. Like in theory, you could say, you know, that if you have something which is established as Rogil by a pattern, right, through Hadah, or, you know, an animal that by nature doesn't have, you know, you know, these restrictions. I have a wild animal, right, that's inclined by nature to attack, right, then Rabbeinu Tam is on board. There can be Muad Mitchila, there can be, you know, a Hadah that turns, you know, a Tam into a Muad. I just want to make that clear. So that is very possible. At the same time, what you could say is, because Rabbeinu Tam, let's say, as opposed to other Rishonim, would think that the gap, let's say, is a lot closer. In other words, if the knas of Palga Niska Knasa, this is what I'm trying to say, if the knas of Palga Niska Knasa is a bit of a misnomer, and there is a chiyuv niske mamon to begin with, despite the fact that it's mishuna, so and ain't a rogil, and ain't darko, so that might make you, again, this is also not mochra, but I just think that there's a natural likely connection that might make you more open, right, to allowing for the avoidance of the transition. In other words, more open to the idea of Muad Mitchila, as well as having, like, you know, a slightly different perspective on what Hadah itself, you know, actually accomplishes. Whereas if you're going, you know, if this thing started off, or if Karen includes, you know, something which is Pater Legamri, you wonder, according to Rabbeinu Tam, whether that doesn't continue, like, to define, you know, Karen, even when you're Chayiv Nezek Shalom. Hard to know. You could say for Rabbeinu Tam, I could see it going either way. In a way, on the one hand, you know, here you have Nezek Shalom, and that's a real Chiyu, you know, and therefore the gap, what you turned, you know, this Chatzi Nezek, you know, into, in terms of Nezek Shalem, is the gap is greater, and therefore, you know, so are the two dinim. This is a critical issue that we're going to have to grapple with. In other words, you know, Palga Niska Knasa, right, or Mamona, right? And then half the Karen cases are Nezek Shalem. So is there any relationship between them? Is it like there are two Avos in Karen? You know, there's a Karen Tam and there's a Karen Muad, and they're really very different. Right? For Rabbeinu Tam, in a way, right, the gap between Palga Niska Mamona and Palga Niska Knasa is greater. Because Palga Niska Knasa is Pater Legamri. On the other hand, the remnant of Palga Niska Knasa, you know, is something which might be, you know, more difficult to just leave behind. So the idea that Palga Niska Knasa you know, continues to shape even, you know, the chiyuv of Nezek Shalem, that I think is the question within Rabbeinu Tam. Whereas for other Rishonim, Palganiska, Mamona Palganiska Knossa, the gap isn't as great. Palganiska Knossa, anyways, isn't the typical Knoss. So the ability, you know, either to avoid it to begin with or to turn, you know, Chatzi Nezek into Nezek Shalem isn't that much of a jump, frankly. So structurally, because it's a greater leap for Rabbeinu Tam, right, it could just be more to dinim, or more, you know, a process that needs to happen or that continues to impact. Do you want to ask something?
Yeah, when Rabbi refers to impacting Nezek Shalem, is it referring to Satan was Bukomo Medes, or is it just referring to Moni Mitchiva?
Absolutely, both. I'm saying on for both things.
Okay.
Number one, can you skip? Can you just go straight to Moni Mitchiva? And number two is the question of whether there's some tamus that remains after being muad. And also, of course, that influencing, you know, the questions that we've been touching on, which is, you know, what does it mean for a tam to become a muad? Right? Is that a formal din, or is it really, you know, just a recognition that it's now like Shein V'Regel, practically, you know, with the Rishus HaRabim difference, let's say. But that, you know, you should just treat it now, you know, like Muad Mitzvilasa would be treated for the people who think Yechayim as a child. So I think that all those things, I'm just basically trying to zero in on the structural question.
Could you say the opposite theoretically, that once you make them closer together, Tam to Muad, unlike Rabbeinu Tam, then it's more likely that Muad is just building off of what already existed by Tam?
Yeah, I think that's the question. Because on the one hand, coming from, or the status of Nizke, Pagadizke Knossa is a more salient, you know, past than it is for the other Rishonim, it's possible you can't overcome that and that continues to color it. Or the fact that you are now Chayv Nezek Shalem has nothing to do with this thing. I'm saying it to Rabbeinu Tam, and by extension, I'm saying it for the others as well. The same, exactly the same question. I think this is a question to ask. Again, it's very abstract, I'm aware. It's hard to pin down, but we need to know about it and think about it. Anyways, this is Rabbeinu Tam. So the reason I'm bringing it up now is, again, is Rabbeinu Tam here, you know, reluctant to accept Rashi's Muad Mitchila? Does that have anything to do with the other part of Rabbeinu Tam, or no? Just in its own right. Either he thinks that, listen, the probabilities, you know, if it's really driven by the numbers, one explanation for Rabbeinu Tam is Lishita, so it's driven by numbers, you know, by, again, the think tank people, the different groups, but whichever group is, you know, we're going with. So Karen Mechubar, you know, is part of the Mishuna category. So maybe if it isn't, you know, the ultimate Mishuna for, you know, for the Knas, it's still Mishuna, you know. So it isn't Muad Mitchila, and it's not the equivalent of, you know, having gone through a Hadah process. And, we also don't have the option of Tzara Shaveh, because Palganiska Knasa is worthless in a Tzara Shaveh, because it's just a Chiddush HaTorah. It's not a din in this case Mamon. So what I'm wondering, basically, we're not going to say what Rashi said, that, you know, oh, that this Mandamar holds that Mishuna is bizarre, not about frequency, because Rabbeinu Tam definitely thinks it's about frequency. Right. So I just don't know whether the rejection of Rashi, the Rabbeinu Chananel, and the Riva has to do, you know, with, it could be a separate point, it could be consistent with Rabbeinu Tam in the way that I just talked about, or it's nothing to do with either of those. It just has to do with the fact that, you know, Stam Shvarim, Lishimur Kaimi, you know, as a number, includes Mechubar, Karen Mechubar, even in the Hava Mina as well. So that is, I think, something to think about. What Rabbeinu Tam think actually about Nachash and Bardalus, Rabbeinu Tam himself, you know, and what about Kishkasha, Viznava, Viamasa, depending on what that suffix is, we touched on that, we'll speak more about it, etc. The Maram, I just looked at the Maram again just to make sure that I think I did emphasize one point which I think you all point out was incorrect, which is that the Maram does not, you know, suggest that once you have Karen Tlusha, that somehow that changes the equation on Hayom Hades. That does work for the Marach Hor Zeruah, which I'll get back to, which I wanted to talk about. But the Maram does, I think, explicate one point in Rabbeinu Tam, and that is the fact that for Rabbeinu Tam, you know, the numbers question, right, doesn't change according to the views in the Gemara whether Karen Mechuberes, you know, is Chayiv Nezek Shalem or Chayiv Chatzi Nezek. Basically, what the Maram does say, I looked at it again, is as follows. He just explains Tosis, basically. He says, how come Tosis makes it seem that the Tzara Shava would be fine and good if you didn't read the Gemara like Rabbeinu on Heilut Beis, like Rabbeinu Tam? Right? The Gemara in Heilut Beis says that, you know, Bar, the Chad Minayu, is not going to teach you Karen, because if you hold that, you know, the fact that it's Eino Muad Mitchilaso, right, is a Chisaro. That's what the Gemara says. That's all the Gemara says. And Rabbeinu Tam says, haha, but if you read the Gemara like me, that it means Palganiska Knasa, right? Ain Darkon Lahazik. I mean, the Muad, the Tashlume Muad is irrelevant. What's important is why there's no Muad. Namely, that it is only a Knas, and really it should be Pater Lagamri. If you read the Gemara that way, you know, then you can't throw in Karen Mechubar. You know, you can't learn Karen Mechubar from the Tzara Shava. Right? Because, so the other Maram adds the following. He just explains it better. He did a good job. So, he just says like this. If you hold, like, the pashtus of the Gemara, which is that the Gemara is zeroing in on the factor of tashlume nezek shalei muad mitchila, he's saying, then there would be no problem to learn a Tzara Shava to teach you Kerem Mechuberes once you know, this is what I meant, once you know Karen Tlusha, or even if you don't know Karen Tlusha. Why? Because in the end of the day, you have Bor, the Chad Minayu, we're trying to learn Karen Mechuberes. What are you going to say? You know, haha, you know, there's a flaw in your reasoning, there's a pircha, because, you know, the Chad Minayu and the Bor are Muad and Mitchila as opposed to what you want to learn from it. Namely, Karen Mechuberes. So Maram says that's ridiculous. We are trying to learn that Karen Mechuberes is Muad Mitchila. So you have Bor and Chad Minayu, and what you're trying to create is something that's also Muad and Mitchila, and everything is happy and fine. Right? Shalom al Yisrael. It's only if you hold like Rabbeinu Tam, who thinks that the Ikar point of Muad Mitchila is Ein Darko, you know, Lahazik, he says, so then Karen Muedes, Karen Mechubar, they're equal Ein Darko Lahazik. Ah. So the reason I think it's just important to point that out, I think he's totally right. That's what Rabbeinu Tam means. It's because you could have said, and other people probably do say, that no, we had the think tank, we're trying to figure out whether it's 20% or 40%, you know, or 60%, and it really isn't the numbers, it's Cheskas Shimur, for whatever Cheskas Shimur itself creates, you know, the Pteranos, the this, that, whatever it is, let's take a Kipshuto, either a Pteranos or a Machayev of Chosar Shmira, those are the easiest ones, so we'll just be, you know, we'll go with the flow, as they say. So in the end of the day, you know, if we end up thinking that the Pasuk is talking about Karen Tlusha, so maybe the only Chatzi Nezek, maybe the only Lav Cheskas Shimur is the 20%, and Karen Mechuberes is 40%. Right, so then it's not necessarily in Darka Lahazik either. But the answer is Rabbeinu Tam doesn't think that's true. Rabbeinu Tam thinks that there's no think tank, if there is, they all came up with one Hagdara of Cheskas Shimur, Lav Cheskas Shimur. That's not part of the discussion here. You can't, you know, technicalize, you know, your way around this whole problem and say, like, you know, it's all reconstructed. So then there's a perfectly good limud. Anyway, so that's Rabbeinu Tam. Okay. According to Rabbeinu Tam, how do you read the Gemara then? So the answer is, again, in our Tosas, it's very hard to read. In Tosas Rabbeinu Peretz, Tosas Rush, the Rajva, you know, they're reading, some of them quote Rabbeinu Tam, some of them, you know, are talking about that Shita. At the end of the day, it's clear that what they're saying is, that, you know, Elachanami, this Gemara is only Laman Damar. The Gemara in Daf Amud Beis is only according to the Man Damar, Palga Niska Knatsa. And the Gemara here is only according to the Man Damar, Palga Niska Mamona. And again, Tosa Rush just throws in, and that's not so bad because it's Rav Papa Lishitasa. Fine. But it's an example of what we spoke of before. There are going to be Gemaras that work one way or not, and you're going to get greater, you know, invisible impact to this machlokas because it's such a fundamental machlokas. Okay. Yeah. That is the view that is identified, at least, with Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Peretz was troubled by the question, like, oh, so we need a Gemara, we need a Havamina to tell you that we don't paskin Palganiska Mamona. Like, you know, who would think that? So Asher just made the Ha'ara to me after the Shir last time. And that is, again, certainly one could say, I mean, that's an interesting discussion. And he says, yes, we do, maybe we don't. You know, so is this like, you know, it's a foolishness or ignorance quotient argument? Like, you know, how far does the Gemara need to go, you know, to satisfy small minds, you know, or, you know, unrigorous, you know, Talmidei Chacham, you know, who don't know, you know, what the law is? Interesting question, right? I guess you could collect those. But, or, again, is the point in Rabbeinu Peretz more like everybody knows this is how we paskin? It's like a Horios thing. It's like every Bar Beirav knows we paskin this case. You know, Chatzi Nezek is Knas. Or maybe, this is what Asher was suggesting, which I like very much. Maybe the idea is, like, how, from the perspective of Chatzi Nezek Knas, how ridiculous is Chatzi Nezek, you know, Mamon? Meaning it's partially our question. Meaning what he's saying is, if you hold like Rabbeinu Tam already, so there are two perspectives on Karen that have practically nothing to do with each other. Two different Karens. There's the Karen of Lav B'cheska Shimur, or at least Karen Tam, right, we're discussing before whether it's still true about Karen Mua. Right, there's the Lav B'cheska Shimur, there's B'cheska Shimur, and it's, you know, Potur but. And then there's this totally other different view, which is saying what? Everything is about Kavanah Solahazik, we don't care about Mishuna. Right? So it's hard to, you know, it's hard to make a mistake. It's hard to think, you know, otherwise. But if you take the view that the line between Palganiska Mamona and Palganiska Knasa is much more subtle, or another way, this is not what Rabbeinu Peretz is saying, but, you know, but to answer Rabbeinu Peretz, or maybe we don't have to understand Palganiska Knasa exactly that way, right? Then it's not, it could be right, it could be wrong still, you know, but it's not absurd. So part of the question is not like, doesn't everybody know that halacha? It's how big a gap is there between these two perspectives? Okay. Having said that, yeah. So let's continue to some other shita. So then we have the Rimi Mitz, quoted in Tosa Rush. It's also quoted in Shita Mekubetzes, by the way, through the Tosa Rebbe, but also it's Rabbi Yaakov, somebody or other, right? What? Who is it? Rabbi Yaakov who?
Corbio.
That will get to Rabbi Yaakov Mikarvil in a minute. Is Shita Mekubetzes quoted Rabbi Yaakov Mikarvil? Or Dovria or something? Or is there, or maybe the new Shita Mekubetzes have a page 6, column 2. A fascinating line that according to the Man Damar, Palga Niska Knasa, what would be the halacha? Karen Bechuberes would be Potter Liga Akadosh Rabbi Yaakov Davria. Does everybody have they have like Mosad Rav Kook put on? Oh, you have the new one? What does he have? What does he have it there? Oh, they don't add anything. Yeah. They tell you what it is?
The Maharit.
Some little town in France? No? Oh. You know, the last time we encountered where's Josh? Is he here? Remind you anything?
I mean, Midarish?
Yeah, exactly. And he was a Kadosh. The same guy? This guy's also a Kadosh. The other one, what, we didn't know his name was Rabbi Yaakov, though, right? Okay. Okay, anyways. He was a Kadosh. Wow. So he also says this idea, which is that what? How come I tell them I be Omer? Lavoy the mandamar stam shvar b'ches kashimur. The day pshita the itzrich the loksiv mechuberes have a patrina legamri to make it tasty lechay beklal. Imitlushin knas nu the knasam knasa lo yalfinan. And that's also the Rimi Mitzah quoted in the Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz. So again, that is a very remarkable shita, as we noted. And it's a shita which further accentuates, it's an extreme of Rabbeinu Tam in a way. Right? Again, Rimi Mitz is probably the Yireim, who's a Talmud of Rabbeinu Tam, so that makes sense. Actually, remember in Karav Kachalol, he also kind of took Rabbeinu Tam a step further.
Yeah. Well, why would this be taking further? Like, what would Rabbeinu Tam think about Mechuberes? He said you can't learn from Telusha,
right.
You can't
but
learn
to say,
from Tadashabet,
right.
So what, the only conclusion would be that it's Pater.
Or maybe it's Chayv Chatzin Nezek. Maybe it just can't be according to the Mandom or Palgin Nizkut Knasa. You can't have the whole Shaka Vataria. That's a Pashtus.
So what would the conclusion be?
What would the conclusion be? Maybe there couldn't be a conclusion that Mechuberes would be any different than Telusha. That couldn't be, right? That's still possible.
Okay.
What he's saying is, what we would have said is that Mechuberes, I mean, or not, I don't know, I think that's, if you asked me, I would say, I mean, what are the two alternatives? The two alternatives that Mechuberes is Pata Legamri. So let's stop and think about that for a moment. Why would it be Mechuberes? Why would Mechuberes be Pata Legamri? Right? So again, if you want to say, oh, it's an extreme in Rabbeinu Tam, because what it does is, it says basically, listen, don't ask me questions. Ein lecha bo lechidusha. Palga niska knasa is completely, disentangled from logic, meaning it's alpidin, it's pata legamri. So it was the Rabbeinu Sholem made a takana, not based on the substance. Right? Very much in contrast to what I'm trying to suggest other people might think in general about knasos, and about this knas even more so, which is that there, the reason for this knas is that it's much murkier than you might think, and therefore on a spectrum there are mazik aspects of it. So what's Rabbeinu Tam saying? No. So what, number one, can we fathom divine intent? This is where he said it. Or maybe the idea is, that there are, maybe it's for some policy reason, it's hard to understand. Well, what can I say? The alternative would be, the better alternative would be, that you just can't make the pashtus, I think, in Rabbeinu Tam, would be that, whenever you're going to say, shvarim b'cheska shimur kaimi, and it's under the threshold of la becheska shimur kaimi, so that's part of the takana of the Torah, right? To impose this, they shouldn't have to pay nothing, right? If even in Telusha, then kol shekein in Mechuberes, that would be the simple pshat. Now again, Rabbeinu, Moshe here in the Gilyon, which we read last time. Where's this on page 7, column 1? Right, Al Masha Tirat Harimi Mitz. Right, Delaman Rapagan is a Kosovo Tusha Logamina and Kosovo Gilead, Rabbi Moshe, Omerli Binyan Acher. This is the 14th, 15th century material, by the way, that I alluded to for whoever's here over Shabbos. Again, you don't have as much of it in Ksuvas and Abab Metzia with Maria Buavs and so on, but in some of them, Marie Katz. The Havamina Bitlusha. Right, kansei rachmana l'shulei palga b'shem dekiven dehiiza v'hechtzifa, right, likach karen tlusha, vaday diyado abaylin v'chatzifus ashar, v'hayalem l'shamra shalotem mazeka. So abaylin pasha. By the way, the formulations are important in their own right. right? Basically, what he's saying is the mechayiv of this of the knas even actually. And it's interesting because within Rabbeinu Tam is kosar shmira, right? There's a huge assumption, but you can see where he gets it from. He's struggling. Like, how could it be that Karen Mechuberis, which is far more frequent, closer to far less Mishuna, in terms of the quality, much closer to Shane Varegel and the regular Dinam of Shore, how could that be scot-free and Karen Tlusha? Because even from the standpoint of policy, you know, so the Rabbeinu Shalom, you know, swoops in and he's worried about Karen Tlusha, right? But he's not worried about Karen Mechuberis in terms of like give the guy a reason to take a little extra care of his animal, even if he's not al pidin obligate. It's a much more frequent case. It's much more, for takana purposes. So he came up with this, if he's doing this already, he's been training, he's been venting, you don't just get up one morning, and if you're an animal, pick up a Karen Klusha and start goring people. You have to kind of plan it out. You have to think about it. You know, we could check with, E.B. White? E.B. White? No? Okay, I could try. I'm trying to get credit for this year, for interdisciplinary college credit. For everything. You just have to go this year. You get physics, literature, history. You help a lot. So that's where it came up. But it's fascinating because it's, even though this is within the world's review of Rabbeinu Tam, he's calling it, Habaylim Pashu. Right? It isn't even just pure policy. But this is what he came up with. But if you don't say this, so what happens if it didn't happen that way? Right? Like, let's say, this some bizarre series of, insane coincidences happen, and this, perfectly docile, lamb of yours, this gentle lamb, he banged into this, and I'm not talking about Tzroros. And somehow he ended up, goring somebody with a camp, but like he was done in the most gentlemanly way, possible. So there wouldn't be a chiyuv knas in that case? It's a havamin in the Gemara, an important one, because it's helping us isolate some factors. But I'm saying this is a very mechudash, but this is basically Rab Moshe, where he was, basically saying this idea, just doesn't make any sense. Even when you say Ein Chabal Chidusho, it's usually, this case is more evident, and therefore we're not, we're not going beyond that. But the Chal Masayim Mana doesn't usually apply Ein Chabal Chidusho, unless this Chidush is just so completely, impenetrable. So that's why I think this is a very, very important shita, and it's interesting that the effort to rehabilitate it is one which highlights chosar shmira, kind of puts things, in the opposite direction. Okay, but bepash this, it means there's no svara here whatsoever. Oh, what's the kamash malan? Is the kamash malan in all of this that Palganizga Knasa remains Chidushu Vein El Chidusho? Does it remain, something to do with Choser Shmira on a lower threshold? Hard to know. Very hard to know. Okay. At the same time, once we have this, strange idea that there can be Karen cases which are Pater Legamri, right? It does help us, albeit it's much easier. As we noted, there's a whole group of Rishonim that are of the opinion that Karen Tlusha, if not for the Gzeres HaKasuv, would have been Pater Legamri. Some Rishonim say it, and some Rishonim clearly are reluctant or just unhappy about saying it. So I want to talk about that for one more second, although I mentioned it already. Right? You have it in a bunch of the Rishonim when they talk about the need for the Psukim and Tzidkiyah, etc. There are definitely two groups of Rishonim, and there's also a little bit of a wrinkle in one of them. Again, one group gives other answers to these questions, clearly avoiding the idea that at any point we would have said that any attack with a Karen would be Patel Lagamre. That's the notion that there can be Karen, you know, which is Chayiv Chatzi Nezek, and other Karens that are Patel Lagamre, is debated in Rishonim. Okay? That is very, very clear. There is another shita. And that is a shita of Marikatz. I don't know if you mentioned it last time or not. And that is the tirage, the Iloha, this is page 7, column 1. Iloha v'yolef elemi b'char shoro hava mina dafka b'chubar b'shalem nezek sholem b'shlosha pa'amim de urchehu. Aval b'tlusha b'gimel pa'amim ha'isi m'chaivo kepam rishona de b'chubar. So, in addition to there being a debate whether there is a legitimate hava mina that plusha, the Karen, could be pata legamri. And by the way, as I mentioned, people, some of the Achronim note that the Rambam never mentions, Karen plusha. There are people who are wondering even if lahalacha, the Rambam draws the line. Right, that's one argument. And again, that is an important argument. Can you be so mishuna? Right, that there's not even a knas. Right? If you say that the din of Mishuna, and I will take this from two points of view. If you say the din of Mishuna, in the end of the day, is a kind of a xeris akasav yipata legamri, but, right? And especially, that's what I meant by the rimi mitz. If it's unfathomable, in the end of the day, it's probably going to apply in all cases. For the same reason, but even more, all right, well, we'll leave it at that. On the other hand, if you think that Palgandiska Knossa, right, is problematic, or that it's based on something, some sort of Choser Shmira on the end, some level of, not being, it's not completely Mishuna, not Mishuna Lagamri, right? So there could be levels. And that's an important perspective in Karen. That's one aspect of it. Second aspect of it is the question of what the Mechayev is. That's, is it possible that there could be any case where a person is bailim over an animal and not responsible, or his bank account is not connected at all to what it does? Once you have the din of Chatzi Nezek? Right? So these are very critical questions, right? Lahalacha, but especially in the Havam. But the Marikatz is an interesting wrinkle, because what he's saying is, no, Chatzi Nezek, that we're not going to be machalik, apparently, between Tzlusha and Mechubar. But Legabe turning a Chatzi Nezek into a Muad, here will be Mechalik. That's almost like saying, very clearly, that the Chatzi Nezek Knas, that's a Chiddush, therefore there are no standards for that. Because really you're Pata Legamri, you're Pata Legamri here, you're Pata Legamri there. Or maybe the idea is, that you're Pata Legamri, and therefore if it wasn't for this Rabbanu Shalom's Knas, the fact that it's your animal, and therefore your bank account should still support, its actions. We wouldn't have said that, but we do say that. So it's not Choser Shmira. It's not, that you're mitzurf to the Maisa Hezek. Those things would make sense to make distinctions about. But you do own the animal, right? So your animal, is connected to your bank account. That's a low plug. So there's no difference. But when it comes to the question of turning a Karen into a Muad, right, there the question of Urche matters. right? And we're not just, it's not, again, if it was a purely formal din, even then, if it's a purely formal din, maybe you just can't, there are certain, you know, there are certain mishunas that you just can't turn into a mazik. Even if it's a formal din, it's a formal din that works in a certain way. If it's a more practical din, just to create urche out of mishuna, right, that's part of the question here when we talk about, again, the influence of a palganiska knasa or palganiska or mishuna. Right? You know, one way to look at it is, you know, once there's hadah and there's a pattern of the behavior, so it's not, you know, it's not a lamb anymore, it's not a cow anymore. You know, it's a goring cow and a goring lamb. You know, it's like a, you know, it's a lion in lamb, you know, clothing, right? Like last week's parsha, the parsha we just read, right? Or vice versa, right? So basically, you know, so what you get through hadah is what you had or you would have had, you know, in Karen, Urche, and so on. But the other way to look at it is, it's still mishuna because it's against its nature. You know, so now we're talking about, you know, a personal pattern versus, the species pattern, or maybe not even that. We're saying, you know, it's frequent, even though it's still mishuna, right? But all I'm saying is that the Mari Katz is fascinating because he's basically saying, could be a very practical statement, could be a very formalistic statement, that we would have thought that Karen Tlusha can never be turned into a muad. But the guy does it, you know, Charlotte keeps writing, you know, on the web, and we still think that each time it's a total coincidence and there's no pattern? Right? It's a very interesting question. It's a very... that's Mari Katz. Okay. So that's an important debate in general about Karen Tlusha and a Karen Tlusha Zabuah. Okay. Then we have the view of the Riva. Just to finish up. Riva is the one we talked about pretty much last. Again, very relevant to what we just said, which is the Riva, quoted by Tosfos Ben Peretz and other Rishonim here in the Sheet of Mekubetzes, suggests that the Haba Mina was B exactly like Rashi and Rabbeinu Hananel. Right, but not based on a svara, based on Xeris HaKasim. Right, kiyigach, kiyigach. So kiyigach is klusha, right, where you have an initial mishuna, but, right, you're going to have urche, but you need Xeris HaKasim for that. And again, that's something to think about, like, why do you need Xeris HaKasim for that? If the reason, the only reason for Tam, if Karen Tam is an exception, you know, and it's because of Indarko or Mishuna or something like that, you know, but really, Kavanasa Lahazik per se, you know, is enough to be Mechayev you, Nezek Shalem, right? So why do we need Xeris HaKasev to teach you? You know, Urche, Meikara, you know, Karen Buad. Right? In the end, we don't have Xeris HaKasev. According to the Rishonim, we think that it applies. So it's something to think about. And this is the question that we were talking about, and that is, do you need this transition or not? Is there something about the nature of Karen, you know, in that, again, even as a muad, you know, the tzad tamus in that respect continues to define it. Or would you have said that if not for Xeris HaKasev? Anyway, that's the Riva's discussion. And the question here again is, what is the maskana? And to what extent hada'ah, right, does that same thing, or no, that's called a muad with a muad process, and that is totally different. Are there differences between Karen Muad and Karen Muad Mitchila according to the Rishonim that exists? Right? Also something to think about. Okay. Then you have the possibility that maybe the Hava Mina would have been, I think we're at number fifth possibility already. You have the idea that the Hava Mina would have been that Karen Mechubar, Karen Mechubaris, would have been a din in its own right. Again, this is similar to the Riba, but not that it's Exeris HaKasuv of Muad Mitkila Bekeren, but it would have taken the place of what?
Rega.
So that is the view, again, if you want to see it, it's Tosas Toch in the Kamoi as this, and the in the Shita Megubetzes, page 6, column 2, they have this as well. Very fascinating. Oh. Yeah. Very fascinating the way they say it. Here, 1 second. Is it here?
The Gilyon.
The Gilyon Tosas or because of the Gilyon? Oh, here it is. Because of the Gilyon. Yeah. Because of the Gilyon, the Isan Leupme Veshilach LeKaren LeChuberes Tvemi Beregel. That's a big finish. They would have taken the pasuk of Veshilach, and that would have been Karen LeChuberes. We'd have two dinim: Karen Plusha and Karen LeChuberes. Okay, why Tvemi Beregel? Kasha Lama Amru Tvemi Beregel. Right? This reminds us of the continuation of the Gemara that we're going to read about Shane and Regel. Right? So say that Karen Tlusha should be the equivalent of Regel. Now these are priceless, you know, worlds that could have been. Right? They really. The Eshlama Mishimhachi Amidon Tve, Levisha Nir Lehem the Svara, the Ika Bekaren, Shematsino de Kvarchayev Chatzinezek, Betlusha. What do you make of that? Ellie? Exciting? Yawning? A yawner?
No, pretty exciting.
Okay, good. I didn't think you were something as a yawner. How so? Why is it exciting? Karen Mechubar more than Shane Beregel, number one. I mean, this is going to help with the shock of the tires of the Gemara. Why would you say yes, or why would you say no?
It seems that Shane Beregel would be even more Orche than Karen.
It's way more Orche than, for sure. I mean, Vaharaya, Lahalacha, we consider one Orche, the other Mishuna, right? So on the Orche level, on the Matsui level, you can't compare these things. Is that a Kula or a Chumra? Ah, tricky. It's tricky to know, right? It's 2 days in the Gemara. L'halacha, we consider Matsui to be a Chumra. We also consider Kavanasa L'hazik to be a Chumra. But that's why I want to still highlight the Gemara, as we've got on Tuesday, but a chance to finish today. But, right? But all these factors could be the Kulas or Chumras, because the line is so subtle between, you know, going too far with certain things. You want it to be Mitzuref to the Bailim? But you don't want it to be. I'm sorry. You want the actin to be a hezek, but and also to be mitzuref to the bailim in terms of their responsibility and therefore their connection to what takes place. So you could go. It's a very thin line. You could go too far with either. You get too much kavanasa lahazik. Right, he's going rogue. Right, my bank account not connected to Rogue Bessie, only to Bessie. I have to get some new names. It's Matsui. I'm more Matsurov to what happened here because Maisim Shibachal Yom. But on the other hand, that's just called life. That's called Hezek. Right. So Kavanasa L'Hazik is a Maisa Hezek. but maybe it's too much his, meaning animals, right? Matsui is much less maisa hezek, cheftza shol nezek. It's like, you know, this is life. Right? But it's much more matsura to the shmira and to the anticipation and everything else. So this is an interesting question, but what's fascinating here, so that could already, you could already hear that echoes in the Gemara. Is it a kula or a chumra? How could the same thing be either a kula or a chumra? That's very rare. It could only be A, if there are different mechaibim going on, you know, and sometimes that puts things in opposite camps. Or if the fine, it could be both, if the fine line that this factor contributes to is indeed very fine, and if it goes too far with it, it undermines it, it makes it the opposite. Right? Kavanos al-Hazik is a great example of that. Right? Because on the one hand, Ein lecha mazik gadol mizeh. On the other hand, if it's too mazik, you know, then it's not me. You know, it's like my, avdo, v'ishto, beno. It's like the Mishnah Kain Yadayim, you know, which we'll get to. Okay. But what's fascinating about this piece more, Ellie, is what? What's even more fascinating? Okay. Tvemi Berego, right? But why? What's the key words? Three words. I'm giving you three words. You have to pick three words. You have to pick the right three words, though. No pressure. Oh, okay. Yeah, I think three words. I could say five. No, but really three. But these are precious, little things, because the Rishonim are, the Mefarshim are really zeroing in on the factors. What's amazing about what he says? Let me ask you, I'll ask you this one. I'll rephrase the question. What would Rabbeinu Tam think about the logic? What would offend Rabbeinu Tam? I don't know. I mean, you do, but you're just being Ilan. Unless I'm missing it.
Moshe?
What?
Shemitzinu Shek or Chayev.
Exactly. Three words, right?
Exactly.
Right? Just a little louder?
Shematzinu Shekvar Chayev.
Shematzinu Shekvar Chayev. Chatzin Ezek Betlusha. Habi Yoser Megilui Deregel de Mishalchi Regel Hashor Vakamar.
Seven.
What?
Seven.
Seven words?
Yeah, I would have included the whole
sentence. The other.
You know what? In 4 or 5 years. You know, when you're doing this, I'm going to come. I suspect that you wouldn't take all seven. But we'll wait. I'm going to hold off. Right. Why these words? Because the point is, what are we really saying here? Josh, what are we saying here? In our usual terminology.
We're saying that it's already a reflection of something that has...
We're saying, nidde chatzi nezek knas... Right? What? Right? Nishma. What we're saying is the fact that there is a chatzi nezek in tlusha, right, makes mechubar somehow a more viable candidate for mazik. Ooh. What happened to Ellie, right? You disagree or you're on board? Okay. So that's what I meant by Rabbeinu Tam. Meaning, Rabbeinu Tam, if I'm guessing, if Rabbeinu Tam were to experience this argument, he would say, what are you talking about? Palgan iska knasa, is pater legamri, because it's becheskas. Again, he also thinks that Karent, it's not really fair to talk about it. What I mean is the notion of mide chayavim chatzi nezek already under the rubric of Karent, therefore, you know, there's more reason to think that something would be chayav nezek shalem, right, is not an argument that Rabbeinu Tam would embrace. That's what I'm trying to suggest. But it is a fascinating argument. If you think that Chatzi Nezek says, you know, basically the Torah, it's a kness. But the point is that it's a, even though, right, you're not Chayiv Nezek Shalem, we still consider you a partial Mazik in this Karen case. Yeah, Avi,
what is within that Palganiska Mamona?
If this is within Palganiska Mamona, then the whole thing is unnecessary. Probably. Because then what do you need it for? If you hold Palganis Gemara, you don't have to contort in this sugya. All you need to say is what all the Rishonim said, which is that, you know, throw it together with Bor, you know, and learn it out separately. Because it's Darko, you know, it's Darko Lahasik. This, all these contortions are an effort to say, like, well, what's going on here? We, you know, it should be, you know, how do you just... Mm-hmm. Right. So anyway, I think this is very, very important. Again, Tosas Toch, they have it also. I don't know if it's the same or it's... Here, on page 9 here. This is Tosas Rabbi Lazar Mitoch. The Lin Nira, the Ema Kula Moedes, the Isoch Le'ukme V'Shilach Le'Keren B'Chuberes Tfeimi Regal, Avagav V'Siv, etc. Mishum, the Ashkan, probably the same language. Okay, then he goes on to ask, I'm just going to finish this up. The kasha lefima shomer begilyam tosens to v'shilach lekaren v'chuberes nimsa de regel shairei. Remember, what are the consequences of this frozen moment? No regel? Regel's potter? Regel would be Potter, and Karen the Chuberes, which remember, according to real Rabbeinu Tam, Lahalacha is Chatzi Nezek, right? That same case would be Chayv Nezek Shalem, and Regel would be Potter. That's a moment. V'le'adinan ve'hecha yalfina v'amai, no maru beer za Karen, so if you're already going with it, right? So maybe beer should be the makar of this one, and then at least we'd have the Shilach. So what is the answer? No, because then you would be stuck saying that Karen Mechubar, they should be Mechalek between Rishus HaRabim and Rishus HaMazik, you know, whether you pay Nezek Sholem or Chatzi Nezek. And you can't do that. Chatzi Nezek has no possible relevance to that. Who says that? Yeah?
Yeah, right
there. Who, I'm Daf?
Yeah. First one.
Really? How can I miss that? Where? On okay, thank you. What does it say? That's what he's referring to? Then Chatzi Nezek Chaluk. Oh, great. So this is a terrific line. And one which we need to get back to, but okay. The Marach or Zarua. just give me another couple of minutes because we're almost finished, and then we will move on. Yeah.
Doesn't he also use the same pasuk that the Gemara used on Gimel to show that it was Shane? Now he's saying that it's Nishifos.
Yeah, in the continuation. You know,
how does he address that? He's using it for both.
Not sure. Here, this I think you have in the toast in the this one, not in the other one. He's assuming, yeah. I'm not sure. I have to look at that again. But anyway, it's a fascinating shita. There are two more shitas I want to mention before we move on. One is the Ma'arach HaZeruah. We mentioned it last time or not? Or were we just talking afterwards? So the Marach HaZor, Simen Kuvav, is what I originally thought that the Maram was saying. And that is as follows. Marach HaZor says to this question, you learn B'Me'atzad. I, Palganiska Knasa, right? So, and what's fascinating is, I'll show you in a second, Marach HaZor seems to be working with Rabbeinu Tam's interpretation on Hayom and Beis. Meaning that when the Gemara says, Shekein Mu'adin, that Shekein Mu'adin means, V'chazka Shimur. Okay, I'm pretty sure that's the case. I think that's clear that that's the case. And yet he says you learn from them about Tzad. So he says, how can you do that? The Gemara says you can't do that. Right? Ah. Says the Marach HaZor, you can do it because we now have one salient new fact that the Gemara didn't have. And that is that Keren Tolush is Chayiv Chatzi Nezek. Keren Tolush is Chayiv Chatzi Nezek, and therefore that rehabilitates the B'me Hatzad, that Keren Mechuberes will be Nezek Shalem. Yeah? That's what he says. Is it up there? Yeah? On the board? Behind me? Even as we speak? Okay, thank you. Arya, go ahead, read it. Wait, the Ein. What's that called? You're the Farsh to Asim Mihanok, meaning we're that suggestion, correct? The Lake of the Shekein Darko Lahazik. What do you mean Shekein Darko Lahazik? Where did that come from? Does the Gemara say Shekein Darko Lahazik? No. Where did he get it from? He's reading the Gemara like Rabbeinu Tam. So this is perfect. We now have somebody who's reading the Gemara like that. That's why I confused a little with the Maram. Maram says, if you don't read the Gemara like Rabbeinu Tam, so you can learn it out, Mehanach. But if you read the Gemara like Rabbeinu Tam, that's the whole point of Rabbeinu Tam, then you're stuck. Right? Oh, not according to the Marach HaZor. Go ahead. The Ikala Meimar. Tlusha Tokiach. Tokiach. Huh? The Lake of the Meimar, Daya Ketlusha. Keep going. Sorry.
The Lake of the Meimar, Daya Ketlusha.
Ooh, what's he talking about? What's he saying? First of all, again, this goes on our hybrid list, right? He's saying, yeah, it's a hybrid. But it's a hybrid, with a dominant, right? It's like Shorin Bor, according to Rav, Shorin Bor is Chai B'Kalim. But that's what a Tzad HaShava is. So here's a Tzad HaShava too. What? But what's a Tzad HaShava from? You can learn a Tzad HaShava from something that's in the Parsha. Not something that's extraneous to the Parsha. Meaning, if it's right, the ikar. By the way, an extra line. The ikar alimud. Go ahead, yalef misha. Fine. Ubor enoki mesalik pircha shol svara shakavanas al hazik obal balechayim. The MS shatosas gimgamu besvaras rav. That's another point which we'll get back. We've already noted. Bikamakom eza shiyu, right? Lerav, right? Nemarkan. Okay. So again, this obviously seems to be taking a view that we noted was probably the Rush and others, which is not all hybrids are the same. It depends on the balance of what you're getting from each hybrid and what the mechayev of the particular thing is. It's much more complicated, than it seems for the Rush, or especially from Ravelvel's reading of the Rush and so on. But let's get to the bigger point, which is, if you hold like Rabbeinu Tam, you can't do this. Why? Because Palga Niska Knasa, Karen Tlusha, is Potor. correct? So there's no mal, it's not comparable to Shor and Bor. Marach or Zerua is basically suggesting that Chatzin Nezek is a Hilchosein. So you can throw it in the mix, you know, to get you over the hump of a pirka. You can only do that if something belongs to the parsha. I think Rabbeinu Tam would have said, that's my whole point. It's not a technicality. So good, you know, Yashar Koach, you accept my pshat in Mu'adim Betchila, that it means dark and lahazik. But you're missing the soul of my shita. Right, which is that Palga Niska Knasa is Pata Lagamri. If it's Pata Lagamri, it can't be in the mix. Can't teach you anything. Marach or Zerua will tell you, okay, I mean it's an attenuated dark on Lahazik, and that's very important. But it's still Betoras Niske Mamon, like the Rambam in Perek Aleph. Right? So that is a great example. Now the Ravelvel also, you know, learns the Shadim Bibein Shneim, as we know, in a way like the Marach or Zerua, except that for him it's totally generic. Right? And that's a part of his general view, you know, of the Tzad HaShava, at least in this piece. So it has a different effect than the Marach or Zerua, but it's the same, you know, general idea. So that's another sheet. I don't know what number we're up to. Oh, then you have the Rimi Korvil. Somebody mentioned the Rimi Korvil before. That's why I wanted you to look at the Tosfos Talmud Rabbeinu Tam. It's also they also bring them in the Kamai. So you don't have the old Blau book. The red books, as I used to call them. This is Tosfos Talmud Rabbeinu Tam Rabbeinu Eliezer. It has some very interesting things. Anyway, so he quotes he quotes the position of the Rimi Mikarvil. That's what I alluded to before. Rabbeinu Yaakov Mikarvil. Who is Rabbeinu Yaakov Mikarvil? He was, but he wrote the author of the Smack, right? Saint Francis Contans, Rabbi Yaakov Mikarvil. Rabbi Yaakov Mikarvil hayam afarish. The hada kamar lekaman Rav Huna b'reid Rav Yeshua at the Stam Shvarim becheskas shimar kaimi hachi kamar mitosh shekvar gila lanu akasuv the lokam mishalim ela palganiska mechlau the Stam Shvarim becheskas shimar kaimi mishum hachi yafa kamar hacha dim loya keren bechuberes. Meaning he's taking, you know, you might, it's hard to know what motivates it. You know, you might say it's the Ish Halacha approach, you know. Meaning, Stam Shvarim Kaimi or Lo Kaimi isn't driving Palganiska Knasa. Right? The conclusion of Palganiska Knasa or Mamona is being reconstructed into Stam Shvari. Now again, is that quantitative? You know, the 20%, the 40%, the 60%? Is it qualitative? Namely, what do we mean by Shmira? Do we mean a Mechayev of Chosa Shmira Pshia? Or do we mean a Ptur Onus? Or is it even more than that? Namely, what we're really talking about is a totally conceptual question. And that is, you know, do we view this, you know, do we do this animal as a mazik, either in advance or even in the aftermath of his action, in which case, you know, every shor, no matter what he does, you know, is becheskas, you know, lav shimor, meaning, you know, you have to treat him as a potential mazik, or at least in retrospect as a mazik, or do we say stam shorim lav becheskas shimor kaimi, meaning, I'm sorry, becheskas shimor kaimi, like, you know, there are things that animals do, even, you know, whether it's in advance when we think about it, or even in retrospect, that just, you know, happened mimela. It's bizarre. You know, again, either because it's rogue, and he did it, and therefore you, the Bilam, didn't do it, aren't Mitzurav to it, or maybe even he, you know, it's Mishuna, crazy animal, crazy Bartholomew the bear, you know, who would have thought that he would do this kind of thing? He does it every day, even crazier, right? So then, now again, he's not going that far, but he is saying that it's not driven by, so for in terms of Pshat and the Gemara, the answer is, if you hold Karen, Tlusha is the one that the Torah is speaking about, right? So then Karen B'chuberes could be Urche, right? Maybe what it means is bizarre as opposed to infrequent, or whether it's levels of bizarre or levels of infrequent, whatever it is, we're reconstructing. Then he says, "V'lo nihira l'Rebbe, d'alekaman." He doesn't think it fits with the Gemara. Upir shavein etam nishmaso eden toma bekeren shein muadin, etc. But his own answer is also fascinating. "V'lo nemai kamer hacha havamin, etc." Ishav akivin degila lano akasu bekeren tlusha shum chiyuv misvara habayadina dekeren bechuberes dark alahazik kamoshein v'regel. On the one hand, he quotes Rebbeinu Tam to reject the idea that we reconstruct backwards. On the other hand, his own suggestion is equally fascinating, very similar in a way, right, to the you know, to what we just talked about, right, the Tosas Toch, whatever it was. Kiven de Gila lanu akasa v'keren tlusha shum chiyuv. What do you mean shum chiyuv? What's the shum chiyuv? Chatzi nezek, which is a knas, is within the view of knas. Misvara habayadina de keren mechuberes dark alahazik kamo shein v'regel. Exactly the opposite of Rebbeinu Tam. Again, like the Marach or Zerua, like, you know, the other view that we just quoted, right? Not Rabbi, but the other Rabbi. Or the original. Yeah.
Rabbi. Russian.
The Russian Rabbi. The Kashali. The Licht of Rachmana, Khor Shoro, the Karen, the Khuberes, the Laboy, Krod, the Vyasal, Titkia, the Karen Tusha. And Shoma, the Lav Krod, the Karne Barzel, the Titkia, have a Patir, the Lagamri Karen Tusha, Fila Michatsi Nezek. Kamash Malan, Shehitama, Inami, and there's another answer. So it's fascinating. He would have embraced, like, you have two extremes here. He would have embraced the possibility that Karen Tlusha would be Pater Legamri, right? Even as Karen Tlusha bumps up Karen Mechuberes. That is a very consistent view in a way. It's not the view that it's Exeris HaKasuv, we don't understand it, you know, it's isolated, has no impact on other cases, right? It's the view that there's a hierarchy even in Palga Niska Knasa. In order to qualify for Palga Niska Knasa, you might think at least that there would have to be some, right, measure, you know, it has to be a little less bizarre, right, or a little more frequent. And for the same reason, whatever the status of Karen Chatzi Nezek actually is, it's Mide Chatzi Nezek Karen Nishma that the next level is probably going to be Nezek Shalim. So I think that they're very compatible views. Good. That's definitely enough for Karen. There's probably a little few things to say, but we'll talk just a little more about Karen. But I want to move on next to the, just to identify light of this, some of the other Shakavatarias, and then to go straight. I'll give you my recordings maybe tonight or tomorrow, so people can start looking at, in addition to the survey, quick one, to Mechalia Karna, to start thinking about Shein V'Regel as well. We're definitely going back to Karen. We're not at all finished.